Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the editor-in-chief of the Quarterly Review of Film and Video, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Capernaum and Roma. Hi, David. How very foreign of you.
Well, we do. We have two foreign language movies today, both of which have been winning awards all over the place. So this is a very big week for film openings, but I think these are the two most important movies. And they're both really quite excellent movies and quite marvelous movies. So, and I've seen each one more than once. So they are very much worth talking about. So let us begin with Capernaum. This is a, interestingly, because we don't get a lot of these on American movie screens, this is a Lebanese-American production, and it has sort of an informal subtitle of Chaos, which is, the movie certainly deals with chaos. Capernaum is a biblical place, but in here it's used to refer to, the title is used to refer to a situation where, let's say, things are not entirely under control. It showed at the Cannes Film Festival way back last spring, and it won the jury prize there, and ever since then has been gaining a very lofty reputation. It was shot in Beirut, Lebanon, which is where it takes place, and it's quite a remarkable movie. I also want to mention right away that it was directed by a very gifted woman named Nadine Labaki, who is actually very well known as an actress, and she appears in this film too as a lawyer who figures in the plot. It's sort of a supporting role. She's a very gifted filmmaker. She had early made a movie called Where Do We Go From Here, which is quite a marvelous film, which I think we talked about a few years ago. But anyway, she co-wrote this movie, appears in it, and she directed it. And the starting point for this movie was when Labaki saw a child who was sort of living on a traffic island with the mother, and who was a begging from passersby. And Labaki suddenly realized that this kid was like growing up on this traffic island, and if the kid tried to leave the traffic island, the kid would get killed because there was traffic flowing by on both sides. And this was basically this child's world. And Labaki was, I guess, smitten with compassion for this poor child, as well she might be. And that was the starting point out of which this whole movie grew. So the movie is about a boy. He's around 12 years old at the start of the film, and most of the movie was filmed in chronological order so that we can actually, if you look carefully, can see the child getting older as the story progresses, although not much older because the story takes place in a fairly condensed time frame. And this boy's name is Zane, and he is the main character of the film. And there's a sort of a framing story of the movie. He has some sort of a lawsuit going against his parents. Zane is suing his parents, and only much later on in the movie do we discover what he is suing his parents for, because most of the film is flashbacks from this courtroom situation. He is suing his parents, looking for a court order that they will not be allowed to have any more children. This is a very interesting lawsuit for a child to bring. And this is because Zane is so unhappy with his life, and he is so unhappy with the life that his parents have bestowed upon him or inflicted upon him, that he has instituted this very unusual lawsuit against them. That said, the most of the movie is in fact flashbacks where we see Zane's unhappy life and what led him to this pass. So there he is. He is growing up in this apartment with his parents, and it's a fairly chaotic situation, true to the movie's sort of an informal subtitle of Chaos. And he is very unhappy, and he does not get along with his parents, and he is not happy at all with the way his life is going, and eventually he kind of runs away from home. And he meets a young Ethiopian refugee who is living undocumented. This is very much also a movie about the refugee situation, in this case in Lebanon, but you know, we can see parallels elsewhere. This young Ethiopian refugee, whose name is Rahil, who has a baby named Jonas. And Zane gets to know Rahil and her baby Jonas, and so that Rahil can keep on working, Zane sort of becomes the babysitter for little Jonas and is looking after Jonas. So this is how Zane is surviving now that he has run away from his family. He is getting support, enabling him to live, from Rahil, who herself does not have two extra pennies to spare, but at least this way she can keep on working. But of course she has to do everything in sort of a sneaky way, because she is undocumented. Then Rahil, not surprisingly, gets arrested and incarcerated for being an undocumented immigrant. And this leaves Zane now alone with Jonas, the little baby, and Zane is now wandering around Lebanon, tugging along Jonas in this sort of makeshift kind of little wagon that he has shifted so that he can carry the baby. Sometimes he's carrying the baby in his arms, and he's not all that much bigger than the baby. And sometimes he's lugging the baby around in this makeshift carriage that he has crafted, looking for Rahil and trying to survive and trying himself to evade the authorities. And Rahil, in the meanwhile, is in jail and absolutely frantic, having no idea what's happening with her baby on the outside. And that is what the movie is about. And eventually we have, of course, a resolution of these different situations with Rahil and her baby, and with Zane and the lawsuit against his parents and his own struggle to survive. Capernaum is a pretty harrowing movie to watch at sometimes, but it's also absolutely riveting. It's just fascinating to watch. It has a very suspenseful story. It has moments of real humor in it. At one point, young Zane is riding on a bus somewhere, and he meets... Who does he meet? Not Spider-Man, but Cockroach Man. This kind of broken-down guy in a uniform who is apparently Cockroach Man. In sort of a superhero uniform. It turns out that he works in an amusement park where he stands out in front as Cockroach Man and tries to encourage people to come into the park. But anyway, the movie does have humor. It has suspense. It has a lot of humanity to it. It's obviously a very serious movie. It's not a movie which is chock full of the holiday spirit, I must admit, even though it's opening at this time of year. But it's just virtuoso filmmaking. To make a movie like this in real locations all around the city of Beirut, Lebanon, and with these different characters interacting in a very very well-told story, as well as just documenting the kinds of horrors that undocumented refugees go through, and that children whose parents do not have the resources to raise them properly go through. So I highly recommend Capernaum. It's quite a remarkable film, and if you want to see a serious movie that is chock full of thought and emotion, Capernaum is one of the movies to go see. The other movie I'd like to talk about, Roma, is, just as Capernaum is a Lebanese-American production, Roma is a Mexican-American production. And it opened, had its premiere earlier this year at the Venice Film Festival, where it won the top prize. And since then, it's been just winning prizes all over the place. It's really one of the most respected movies of the year, and it's just an excellent film. Roma is written and directed by the very great Mexican filmmaker Alfonso Cuarón, and he's had a very varied career. He started out with a couple of movies basically aimed at family audiences, A Little Princess, Great Expectations, back in the middle and late 1990s. Then he really got onto the art film map with a Mexican film called Y Tu Mama Tambien, a very highly respected movie, and then back to blockbuster territory with Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. And he is best known for fantasy like that, Children of Men, a science fiction movie with amazing camera work and special effects, Gravity, another science fiction movie with one of my candidates for one of the two or three greatest 3D movies ever made. So he's very much known for these large-scale fantasy films. But now in Roma, he has returned, just gone into the exact opposite direction, making a movie which is very large-scale. It's well over 2 hours long, but which is very intimate in its feel, and is the opposite of a fantasy. It's very much based on reality, and it's fact. It's based on his own memories. So Roma is named after a neighborhood in Mexico City where he grew up and where he was a little boy back in the early 1970s. And the starting point for this film was he remembered this image of the maid of the family that he, you know, his own family, going up these stairs, these long, long stairs, kind of trudging up to hang laundry on the roof. And on one hand, she's trudging. She's a maid. She does menial work. She works very hard for a living. But on the other hand, she's sort of walking up toward the sky. She's sort of rising above. And it's this sort of interesting contradiction within this one image, which sort of started this whole movie off, although interestingly, it ends up as the very last image of the movie itself. The movie is very much about a woman named Clea, who is in fact the maid of a family very much like Cuarón's own family, where he grew up. They are a very solidly middle class, maybe verging on the upper middle class family. The man of the house is a physician, although we don't see too much of him, partly because he's off having an extramarital affair, which his wife back home in the house is only gradually sort of figuring out what's going on as the movie proceeds. So we are, one of the things that's going on in this film is that a marriage is breaking up. But again, this is not a main focus of the movie because everything is filtered through the perceptions of the maid, Cleo. And she is kind of observing things and kind of figuring out herself what's going on, but she's not right in the middle of that exact situation. Now, the movie Roma, the mood is gentle. It's a gentle movie. It's an underplayed movie. It's an understated movie in so many ways. Yet even though it is gentle, there are kind of intimations of things that are intimations of unease or even of disaster here and there through the movie. For example, one scene is a shooting party. It's a bunch of people on a picnic and they go off and they're sort of shooting guns for fun. It's fun and it's, you know, it's okay. Nothing wrong with it. But, you know, these people are shooting guns. That's one of the things they do at a picnic. Other things that are a bit more dramatic than that. There's an earthquake, and the earthquake takes place during a scene in a maternity ward, so that little babies have to be hustled out of the way so that they won't be crushed by falling debris. There's a fire that takes place out in the woods, where the only thing that people have to fight the fire is that buckets are the main, the buckets of water are their main instrument for fighting the fire. There are a couple of martial arts demonstrations. Again, you know, nothing wrong with it. It's not violence, but it's, you know, it's violence-like stuff. There are, by the way, some very amusing scenes involving a car that can never seem to quite fit where it needs to go. The garage is a little too narrow for it, or there are people parading down the street where the car has to go. So things not fitting is a sort of a theme of the movie. But there are certain events in the movie which are sort of the dramatic focuses of it. At least one is on a very large scale. The movie presents a recreation of a kind of a police riot that took place in the early 1970s, where the police massacred a whole bunch of protesters, basically insurgents. And this is perhaps the biggest set piece in the movie, very, very dramatic and brilliantly staged by the filmmaker. So that's a very large scale sort of unhappy thing that takes place. Then other things that have this kind of dramatic charge are more intimate. For example, the maid Cleo becomes pregnant. At first, she absolutely is convinced she's going to get fired. She's the maid in a household with little kids. She is not married. Suddenly, she is pregnant out of wedlock, and on top of that, the man has deserted her. But it turns out quite the opposite. Her employer supports her all the way, immediately takes her to the hospital to be checked out, promises that she will support her in every way during this pregnancy, and follows through on that promise. So that's very nice, and yet the pregnancy ultimately has a very unhappy outcome anyway. So we have these large-scale things which are full of unease and foreboding, and worse than foreboding, some of them large scale, some of them very small scale and intimate, and the movie kind of oscillates between these two poles as it goes along. So that is what Roma is about. It is about life in this, again, very solidly middle-class family, but as perceived by the maid, who is always going to be caught in her place on the socioeconomic ladder. She's never really going to be able to rise above that, but true to her time and place, Mexico City, back in the early 1970s, she is content with her lot. She is not unhappy with her lot. And she actually leads a fairly good life, even though some very unfortunate things happen to her along the way. So again, the movie is very much a memory film. It is shot in black and white. And by the way, Cuarón not only wrote the movie and directed the movie, but he did the cinematography himself, and it is magnificent. It is absolutely astonishing, and I have to mention one scene near the very end of the movie, a scene that takes place on the beach where a couple of little children are in terrible danger out in the water. And this is just one of the miracles of modern-day cinematography. It is just astoundingly harrowing and astoundingly realistic, and yet I presume they did not put two children in imminent danger of drowning to film it. It's just one of those things that has to be seen to be believed, and there's more than one sequence in the film which is like that. Roma is not a movie just to hear about. It's a movie that, to understand its greatness, you really do have to see it. Roma, interestingly, is being distributed by Netflix. This has caused a lot of controversy. The Cannes Film Festival would not accept it for its own festival because they said, Netflix, that's television stuff. We don't deal with that. Venice was different. They accepted the film, and that's where it had its premiere. You're going to be able to see this film streaming. I would recommend, if you possibly can, see it in a movie theater, if only for the amazing soundtrack. The sound is so detailed and so directional. It's a whole crucial element of the movie in itself. So two really fascinating foreign language films this week, Jill, Capernaum and Roma. I could not recommend them more highly, and that is my extremely upbeat story this week.
For which we thank you as ever, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Capernaum and Roma.